When it comes to special education funding, Pennsylvania has recently made some reforms, but advocates say that many changes are still needed, especially for the charter sector. This is Multiple Choices, a Keystone Crossroads podcast that pulls back the curtain on issues of schools and money in Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Kevin McCrory, and today we're talking about special education funding. Joining me is Paul Sokolar, publisher and editor of the Philadelphia Public School Notebook, as well as Dale Mezzacapa, contributing editor for the Notebook. Hey, Paul. Dale.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kev.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. What does it mean to be a special education student in Pennsylvania? What does that mean?
It means that you have something called an Individualized Education Plan, or IEP, which means that you have been diagnosed with some kind of learning issue. And under that IEP, it's very prescriptive about what services you're supposed to get.
Like speech therapy. It could be autism.
It could be everything from once a week or twice a week speech therapy to, you know, students who have profound disabilities who need nursing care and feeding tubes. The range is vast.
And the mandate comes from the federal government, right, Paul?
That's part of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, which goes back a few decades.
Okay, so it costs more to educate special ed kids, obviously, than it does for traditional ed kids. And that cost can vary pretty greatly, right? Just within the special education subcategory.
Yeah, absolutely. And the state does have a specific funding stream for special education, and that's what's been in flux over the last couple of years. There's been some initial steps taken to reform that, and still a lot of conversation about how the charter sector funding works.
How much can it cost, just to give us an example, for special education funding for a kid?
Yeah, it can be twice as much as what it is for a regular ed kid.
So like $30,000 in some cases, upwards of that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
To dive down into the nuts and bolts, when you talk about traditional districts, how do they receive special education funding? Where does the money come from?
It comes from a funding stream that, as Paul said, is set aside for that purpose. And it's quite a bit less than what's set aside for basic ed. But that's where the funding comes from the state to the districts. And there have been various ways that money's been allocated. And the state has tended to go back and forth between allocating it per student and allocating it based on the assumption that a district has a certain percentage of special ed students, because it doesn't really want districts to over-identify special education students. So I think the percentage has been something around
16%.
That's the law of the land still.
No, that actually changed in 2014. So until 2014, they were assuming every district has 16% special ed kids, and that's how much, you know, the amount they sent was based on that uniform assumption.
And for instance, if they had 20% or 25%,
you still got funded based on the assumption that you had 16%.
And so, the idea, again, is that you didn't want to over-identify. You didn't want to just say this kid had special needs because you wanted the extra money.
Right. So in 2014, the legislature came up with a new formula. And first of all, they switched back to the idea of identifying the actual number of kids. And the second big change was that they identified three tiers of students. And depending on the level of disability, there are three tiers of funding.
Just to simplify it, can we say that there was a system that a lot of people didn't like, and now there's reforms, and now the money is being delivered in a way that people think is more fair?
Not necessarily. Because there was a big fight over whether or not you should divide it into three tiers. I guess some of the districts were more, you know, it even divides districts up. Because, as I said before, there can be very, you know, minimal needs and there can be profound needs. So what they settled on was that they were going to deliver the increase in special ed funding, which was the first increase in about 6 years in special ed funding.
And a tiny one, too.
And a tiny one. It was $20 million. It was nothing, really, when you're dividing it up across the entire state. That they would allocate that money that way, but not the bulk of the money, which...
So it's only new money.
It's only the new money, okay. not all of it.
And that's where the next step was. There was also reforms on the table for the charter sector that eventually kind of didn't happen. How are charter schools funded for special education kids?
So charters, it's kind of like the old system, that it reflects what was in place when the charter law was adopted. So for charters, they're going to get their money based on the average per pupil cost in the school district that
in the home district.
In the district that chartered the school, yeah.
Okay, so if there's
no tiers.
There's a special
matter.
Ed kid yeah. in Reading, that money's coming from the Reading School District, right. or Erie, that's coming from the Erie School District, and it's just that flat.
Right, and it doesn't matter if they're in speech therapy or, you know, profound multiple disability. It's the same rate.
So right now, charter schools, there's two basic rates of funding. There's one for regular ed kids and one for special ed kids. And generally, the special ed funding formula for charter schools is about 2 to 2.5, sometimes 3 times, depending on what the local district spends. And the effort to put it into tiers was especially loathsome to people in the charter community, because the charter law also doesn't require the charter schools to spend. It doesn't require the districts either, but it doesn't require charter schools to spend their special ed money on special education students.
Okay.
So by dividing it into tiers, that means that if most charter schools, if they have students with disabilities, and most have a much smaller percentage of students with disabilities than district schools have, they would get the huge amount for educating kids that, for the most part, did not have profound disabilities.
So if the average was, I don't know, $25,000 for a special ed kid, but, you know, they're getting mostly kids who need speech therapy, for instance, and that costs, I don't know, $15,000, then that's $10,000.
That they could do whatever they want with. And there are charter schools around the state that basically use that money. They've acknowledged that they use it for other things, which really upset former special ed teacher Bernie O'Neill, who is the head of the Special Ed Funding Commission in the legislature. That really upset him, that this money was not being used to educate students who had disabilities. And then there's another perverse thing about the formula, and that is the more that charter schools in a city like Philadelphia or Chester that have a lot of charter schools, or at least have a lot of their students in charter schools, the more the charter schools take the mildly disabled, inexpensive students away from the district, the average that the district spends on each special ed student goes up. And therefore, the charter school's payment goes up.
The difference keeps widening.
So the difference keeps widening. And
it's
kind of
a snowball effect, really.
Yeah.
So there really is a perverse incentive, can we say, for charters to over-identify special ed kids with relatively mild disabilities? That's baked in the cake.
It can be that way. I mean, all charter schools do not do that,
sure.
but some of
but
them
the incentive
do.
Is there.
Yeah, the incentive
the system
is there.
Would encourage.
Rewards that.
Yeah.
Well, this is a real problem in Pennsylvania, like we're talking about. I spoke about it recently with Donna Cooper, Executive Director of Public Citizens for Children and Youth and former cabinet member for Governor Rendell.
So what we have is we've seen a relatively robust expansion in charter drawdown for special education services, meaning they are billing school districts for students that meet special education needs without any sort of checks and balances on the evaluations and without any ability to determine if the quality of educational services that's needed for those students is being delivered.
Reactions to Donna's point?
She's right, basically. And that's one of the reasons why there was a big effort to reform and to have the three-tiered system, so that the student, before the charter school got paid, there had to be some validation of the needs of the student. But the charter community fought very hard against that. And when you talk to people about, well, why they fought so hard against it, they were saying, well, maybe it's not the fairest system, but we feel that we're being shortchanged in other ways, and we need this money to fill in the money that we don't get for buildings, we don't get for this, and we don't get for that. And, you know, so that was the rationale. And that rationale so far has won the day.
So it's another case, really, where the scarcity of funding for education in Pennsylvania has tended to pit the charter sector against the traditional district schools, fighting over a pie that just isn't
enough.
Big enough.
Yeah.
Just to break it down, if the three of us wanted to go in and game the system, how would we do it?
You would identify as many, especially if you're in an area, in a low-income, high-poverty area, in which many of the students come to school with deficits, perhaps not traditional, you know, disabilities, but speech issues and so on. You would identify as many of those as you could.
while trying not to take the ones who are really expensive and really hard to take care of.
You would identify as many as you could, and then you would hire a few speech therapists, and you would keep the rest of the money.
Build the school district, break in the money, spend it where you need to spend it, but you'd have a lot left over. And so, like you had said, that there was this effort to reform that part of it. Lawmakers stripped those provisions away, an action that advocates, again, like Cooper, link to the moneyed interests of the charter sector.
So there's powerful organizations that represent charters. There's also some charter operators that are very healthy donors in the political process. One of those donors is right here in this region. He is operates Chester Community Charter. He's very active in charter policy. He should be. He runs a charter. And he has the wherewithal to actively lobby to protect the interests of his charter. The problem is that the entities that are looking for accountability and assurance that children are not being over-identified and assurance that quality services are being offered, they don't have the resources to educate the legislature about the fact that there might be problems that need to be solved.
So Donna there is hinting about Vaughn Garegian. He's a major political donor in Pennsylvania, was Tom Corbett's top giver, and has ties to many Republican state lawmakers. Dale, you've done a lot of reporting about him over the years. Is it fair to think that reforming charter school special education funding was quashed in part by his influence?
Yeah, well, I don't know because I was not in the room and I did not interview a whole lot of people who said yes, you know, that to that question. But the pattern has been that he has fought assiduously over the years against opening the books of his company, which he says contains proprietary information. There's a long-running lawsuit with the Inquirer on that. So one can draw one's own conclusions, but as you pointed out, he's a big contributor, he has a lot of influence, and the system as it is works to his benefit.
When you talk to Republican leadership in Harrisburg, they tend to focus less on reforming the existing problems and more on the fact that the federal government hasn't funded special ed at a high enough rate. It's the feds, we should note, that wrote the special ed law. That was former Governor Tom Corbett's line, and we hear it here from Steve Miskin, spokesman for House Republican leadership.
Pennsylvania, like every other state, is still waiting for the federal government to actually fulfill even a third of its promise of funding special ed. So special ed funding is an issue everywhere.
Does Miskin have a point? Is special ed an unfunded mandate, quote unquote?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And unfortunately, federal budget is not expanding these days, so it's not likely to change anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would say is that before 1974, when this law was passed, school districts had no obligation whatsoever to educate kids with disabilities. Mm-hmm. A lot of them had got no education at all.
Well, I guess with that, we'll conclude this edition of Multiple Choices. Thanks so much for being here, Paul Sokolar, publisher and editor of the Philadelphia Public School Notebook, and also you, Dale Messicap, the contributing editor of the Public School Notebook. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.